Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome back. I want to take care of a little bit of business. First thing is the LA seminar, which will be Monday, July 3rd at the Marriott Courtyard. We're having it. Some people have questioned whether or not we are because of the holiday, and we definitely are. So look for us Monday, July 3rd, Courtyard Marriott for Dr. Allen's famous seminar on relationships. And I want to remind everybody that Wednesday, July 5th, we're having our Orange County show at the Newport Beach Community Center. So if you need the addresses and other information on that, you can go to www.drpatallen.com. And that is sponsored by the Want Institute, which also sponsors our show. Thanks, Want Institute, for bringing us with you. I also want to remind everybody, you can find out more information at wantistore.com about the one-day classes Dr. Allen is offering. They're filling up really, really fast. So you want to take a look at those if you're interested. And those classes, I highly recommend it. So keep checking the website. We'll be adding more classes. And if you want first information, you're going to want to sign up for our newsletter. And let me see what we have. Oh, yes. If you follow us and you get our newsletter, you'll find out about the new special that we're going to have for July. And remember, you only have until June 30th to get our current special. So check that out. And you can get signed up at www.drpatallen.com. And speaking of Dr. Pat Allen, you're on the air, Dr. Allen.
I know it, and I'm looking forward to doing what I can do to help people love one another.
Most excellent. So, you are really excited about these classes that you have coming up.
I love them. I love them. I know that in the past I've had the big 30 people and whatever, and I love my big shows, the ones we do at LA in the Courtyard Marriott, the one we do down here. But I love the intimacy of having six human beings in a room without windows where we form within 7 hours a family in which we can learn from each other. Yes, I'm the teacher, I'm the therapist, but I learn from people as they resonate off of the information. And I love the topics. I'm doing Saturday shows.
So which one are you feeling passionate about today?
Today I'm feeling passionate about the one I'm going to do Saturday, which is scripting.
Dealing
with what makes human beings tick, especially you in your life. You see, we're born to be nice little animals, and that's very good. It's very predictable. And Freud thought that we were all cooked by three, but as Milton Erickson said, no, there's stages that go on and on and on. So finding out what your script was when it was imprinted on your nervous system, starting at 6 months in utero, so that when mommy and daddy were fighting, you are getting the buzz. And while cortisol doesn't cross the placental barrier, anxiety produces enough in a woman's body for that baby to pick up. So from babyhood to old age, you're either living your life or you're living a life somebody else described and prescribed.
Now, Dr. Allen, when you talk about that, living your life and living a life somebody else prescribes, and then a lot of people talk about the term selfish, and then you talk about the term selfless. So can you explain that? Some people think that if you are loving yourself and taking care of yourself that you're selfish? Can you differentiate for them? Because that's a huge question.
This is the way nature has built each human being to be self-centered. The first year of life, starting at 6 months in utero, because that's when you have enough physical, mental, and emotional capabilities to record pain and pleasure on your nervous system and pull away and come forward. In the beginning of life, the first year of life, you're a yang energy system. I want what I want and I want it. I'm self-centered. Self-centered people follow their nature. And nature, as we're doing now with our gender studies, is telling us that we're all on some level of continuum with regard to yin and yang energy. So the first year of life is really pretty much self-centered. The second year of life is when we start responding to stimulus around us, and it's, no, I don't like this. No, I don't. And then the third year of life, we make a decision. Do I want to be an intimidating person who doesn't give other people the right to be self-centered? Or do I want to seduce people into thinking I'm so helpless and so weak that I am their source of work, so they have to be selfless with me? So self-centered is either masculine or it's feminine. And if it's feminine, it's passive, patient, and vulnerable. If it's masculine, yang, it's competitive, conquering, and controlling, and we're all both. So
right.
Selfish is when we think other people belong to us, and selfless is when we think we belong to them, and self-centered means I'm running my life. I'll decide what I'm doing.
Okay, so
is that we study what runs our life. Claude Steiner did a great book, and it's called Scripts People Live. And I do script reading, so that's what we're doing.
Exactly. So let me ask you this.
What?
Erickson, you mentioned Erickson earlier, and Erickson talks about in that first stage of life, trust versus mistrust. Do you find that what you're talking about has a huge impact on the life script there forward, trust versus mistrust, in that early childhood stage? How does that affect us later with our script?
Well, for example, there is a phenomenon called the adoption phenomenon, and it's where when a baby is not in the warmth and loving control practice of a loving human being, it can get afraid that it's abandoned, neglected, and that they've done research on it, that if you don't ground in those first 3 days after birth, with another human being, nurses, whether it's your mother, whether it's a nurse, grandma, whoever it is, that it's going to be difficult for you to be self-centered enough to believe that life is worth living. And they've done studies that, for example, people that are not well-grounded, mirror neurons and all, in those first days, basically spend less time in college and more time in jail. That's how great a profound impact it can have on a human being. So neglect and abandonment are very, very, very painful and very interesting.
I find that incredibly interesting, and I think the work that Erickson did with regard to that has really opened my eyes in some of the training that I've been going through, including when I did my script with you, and I thought about, you know, what went on in my life. And my script was incredibly helpful. And I've talked to some of the other people that have been to your scripting class, and it's had a profound impact on how they changed and how they're living now. It's very exciting.
To thine own self be true, thou canst not then be false to any man. That's Shakespeare.
Yes, William Shakespeare. Beautiful. Love him. So with respect to that, with respect to what Erickson says, and I know you do a lot of work with Eric Burns stuff, and of course you're a Jungian. Do you find that all of them bring something to the pot with your life script work?
I think of myself as a coordinator for all the thoughts I've ever thought and books I've ever read, so that I have my own way of teaching self-centeredness, which has worked in my life, and I'm hopefully helping other people do the same. So if you know yourself as yourself, and you're not simply melting what you've learned from other people, you basically do what is called individuate and actualize.
Exactly. So, Dr. Allen, you do these classes, but you also do script readings in person and over the phone. Is that correct?
Of course, yes, absolutely.
Hello.
Oh, we've got a caller. Hi, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I'm leaving the room of my iPad. I'm coming on Saturday to the script. I'm very excited.
Oh, good, excellent. Good.
Yes.
You know what's nice about this work is you can take it regularly, the script class, and it's like unraveling the peelings on an apple. You find more and more, or an onion. You unravel it to the point where you actually know who you are, and it helps you run your life better.
Wow. I'm so excited. I'm really excited. I absolutely love you. I think you're amazing. So I'm very excited.
Well, I have worked on becoming self-centered and an individual and actualized. And some days I'm nice to be around, and some days I'm not, because that's where I'm at that day.
Right.
But I'm me.
Well, I have a question that doesn't have to do with script, though. It has to do with it has to do with understanding what it means to acquiesce to your partner. I'd like you to better explain that if you can.
Yes. Acquiesce is a precious, precious word to me. It is not surrender. It's not relinquishing. Acquiescing is doing something you wouldn't do if you were totally alone. It's something you do for the sake of the team, whatever team you're on, being a wife, being a mother, being a husband, being a father, being a child. When we acquiesce, we are doing something to allow us to connect with another human being on an individual basis. I'll be me, you be you, and when we come into conflict, we've got to work on deciding for ourselves how much we want to acquiesce. Now, how do we know the difference between acquiesce and capitulate? Capitulate is when you give up you and do it their way because you're too afraid to be abandoned and rejected. Acquiescing is, how much do I want to fight over this issue? Or can I agree to disagree? And can I agree to consider a compromise? And if both parties, the parent and the child and the parent as you get older, do I have enough love? Because love basically is the name of the game. Love one another. And love is not like. Love is accepting the other person's right to be who they are. Liking is approving of the way they are. Now, too often, negative families parent their children into being kids they like rather than love. You know, I love to use the word, you know, when couples come in and they say, we're getting in trouble in our marriage. And I say, well, and we still love each other. And I say, you've got to love your enemies. Do you like each other? No, I don't like him. It's liking. When you like somebody, you're willing to acquiesce. When you love somebody, you love them as they are, no matter whether they acquiesce or they don't. That's the difference. So I like the word acquiesce because it means working as a team.
So how do personal boundaries then come into play? I'm talking spouse. How does personal boundaries come into play?
Personal boundaries in a relationship that is going to be good, you've got to have chemistry because otherwise your run is about 3 years and you're done. And then you're out with other, whatever. Compatibility, I believe, and in the Upanishad, that words, if you can't negotiate boundaries with words, you can't make a contract. Beware of your thoughts, they become words. Beware of your words, they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character. Beware of your character, it becomes your destiny, which is a script. Destiny. So if you're negotiating with another human being, you've got to know what you want and what you don't want. And if you're married to somebody and you haven't taken the time before you married to learn how much you like and how much you don't like about the other person and whether the liking is 51% more than the dislike, or do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
Too many times people, especially people that are married, have not taken the time to negotiate their compatibility. And that means the chemistry can't hold up longer than about 3 years. And the 7-year itch is nothing but 2-3.5 year cycles of Saturn, which is warrior. So I'm on this planet as a transactional analyst to help people negotiate deals that are not intimidating or seductive, but that very often require acquiescing, compromise, in order for them to facilitate the relationship.
Okay.
Are you compatible with your partner?
Very. We've been together 31 years, married 28.
That's wonderful. So are you bumping into each other now?
We have a few issues. We actually came to see you privately to deal with them.
And what happened with the meeting?
It was amazing. You kind of solved our problem within 45 minutes. But like, we still have a little bit of issue that we're working through.
Do you want to run it by me now?
He has a very close relationship with another woman that is very difficult for me.
Is it a relative, a mother, a daughter?
No, It was he actually had an affair with her, and he wants to keep her as a friend but not be sexual anymore. And you advised us to go ahead.
So did you agree in the session with me to keep her or to get rid of her?
We negotiated that he would keep her as a friend, that they would have zero sexual, and that he and I would never discuss her. That he would just be her friend, and when they went to lunch or whatever they did, it would not be something that we would discuss. And every day I would put plus or minus on the calendar if I wanted to stay married.
Good. And what happened with that contract? Because the only way you know you love yourself or anybody else are the commitments, contracts you're willing to make and keep. So what happened to that contract?
Well, the 2 months went up, and I never put a minus. And I was really happy with never discussing it, but he seems to always want to bring it up and talk about it. He feels like he just kind of, how are we going to work through this if we don't talk about it and I don't accept that she is going to be his friend? So I'm trying to figure out, do I acquiesce and talk about her since he's keeping her as a friend?
Only if you want to be selfless, less of self.
Oh, that's hard for me.
It's hard for any healthy human being.
I mean, I want a tantrum and oh, poor me, because I feel like, seriously, this is a really difficult thing for me to have to deal with. But
you don't have to. Is he 51% valuable enough to you to keep with a broken agreement?
Absolutely. He is so much more than 51% valuable to me. I don't want to break the agreement, though. That, I don't want that to happen.
I want you to know something. In his family, he was scripted not to keep agreements. Do you know which parent did it?
Yeah, probably his mother.
Did she let him get away with it?
Yes.
Guess who is now being put in the same position?
Oh, me.
Do you want to be his mother or his wife?
His wife.
Wife outranks friend.
Okay. What's that mean? What do you mean?
What that means is her title is friend. Your title is wife. But he really wants you to be mother and her to be some form of sexual connection.
Well, he promised me and you that he would not ever do that again with her. And that if he did, he was going to tell me. That was the agreement you
told him
that he ever did.
It's more intimate to be a friend than to have sex.
Oh.
Do you understand that?
Yeah, I have said that to him before.
No.
I have said I'd rather you go see a prostitute.
You know what? That's a nice offer, but whatever. Do you...
Yeah.
Do you want to be his mother?
No, I don't.
Okay. Do you want to be his wife?
Yes, I do.
Then you let him talk all he wants and watch him burn out when you don't get upset. Because if you don't get upset, you're not his mother.
Oh, okay. Say that again?
Do you want to let him get away with what he's doing and not mother him? Because this is what I realized about people that break agreements. They break them in order to break you into accepting that.
Oh, wow.
But If you acquiesce to letting him be his friend or her friend,
yeah,
what you're doing is saying that you don't care.
Okay.
Now, I'm not speaking about the danger of having intercourse and disease and all of that. I'm talking
right.
about...
Right, he's not going to do that. He promised he would not do that. And
well,
I believe him.
Oh, you do believe him. Your gut tells you to
I
believe
do.
That?
Okay. Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Then guess what we're going to do?
What?
We're going to scare him to death with your acquiescence.
Okay.
Do you see what,
wow, okay.
what I did?
Yes.
See, you came to my office. We created a contract. Great, 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 great. Yes.
Correct.
You must protect yourself morally, ethically, and legally. That's the sex part. Those
yes.
are those yes. are big times.
Yes.
But this is some of the guy's a friend, and he has found a way to get you to show him how much you like him, even when he's a jerk.
Okay. He wants, so, I believe everything you're saying.
You don't believe it. You feel it.
Yes, I feel it big time.
Okay. That's lesson. See, if you don't feel it in your gut, this is what I'm speaking to you. We're moving to another level of training in how to be married to somebody that doesn't keep agreements.
Okay.
So you are not going to tell him anything. You're going to, when he brings her up again, you'll look and do nothing.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Because he wants you to mother him.
Okay.
Which means he wants you to love him more than yourself.
Okay.
And guess where his brain is going to go when you prove you love yourself because you think he's a good husband, way better than 51%.
Yes.
When you love yourself enough that you do not respond to his provocative behavior, he will wonder what happened. Why
okay.
aren't you mad at me?
Okay.
And you'll have, I want you to call back whenever, God willing, we're still alive and on the phone.
Okay.
I want you to call back when he says, why haven't you bothered with me when I talk about my friend? Because she's only your friend. I'm your wife.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm going to do it.
Do it.
I'm going to do it. I like go to the church of Pat Allen, so I am going to do it. I will call back
months.
And tell you.
Give me, with. I hope he does it within 2 months.
Okay.
Now do you know what the word acquiescence means?
Yes, I understand much better.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll see you Saturday.
Okay.
Thanks. Thank you, caller.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That is what we were just talking about, the selfish versus self-loving and self-centered.
I know it. I know it. Self-centered is such a good word.
So interesting. And oh, hello? Hi, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
I do. Yes. Hi, Kelly. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Hi, Seattle.
Yes. It's been 2 weeks. I'm sorry. I've listened every time. I just didn't have a question in the last week.
Well, welcome, Seattle.
Thank you. So this has been happening a lot lately, and I know you don't interpret dreams because there's not enough time here, but can you just tell me in general, what does it mean when I see male celebrities in my dreams? It's always male, And Leonardo DiCaprio has been popping up a lot, but I don't even, like, he's not my TV crush or anything. So I just
remember, we do a great 9-to-4, 7-hour dream analysis class too.
Yeah, so that's coming up. Yeah, it's coming up. Look at oneeyestore.com.
And
okay,
now,
I will either come and join
one,
for sure.
I'm going to just explain. When you dream of men, you're dreaming of their soul, which is the anima, feminine, feminine. Uh-huh. But everything in the dream is you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you take care of yourself?
Do I? Yes.
Yeah.
Like, in what way do you mean, do I take care of myself?
Do you take care of your body? Do you take care of your clothes? Do you take care of your hair? Do you take...
Yes.
Attentive are you to your... the way you look and the way you operate?
Oh, very attentive.
That's why you choose a celebrity male.
Huh.
So oh, I love this, Dr. Allen. Clue us in. Why does she choose that exactly? What does that mean?
What that means is you use your eyes a lot to evaluate your environment, yes or no?
Yes, I'm very visual, and I get very uncomfortable when something doesn't match, for example. Like, I can't be in an ugly surrounding for too long.
Now, if
like
I said...
Like a dirty room.
Yes, I know. Now, if I said, could you be happy with the farmer in his overalls?
No, I don't think so.
Therefore, when you dream of your feelings, you dream of them as celebrities because you're very, very impacted by your eyes.
Ah, that's so interesting.
No, that's so reading it. Just reading it. What's a celebrity? A celebrity, I loved Marilyn Monroe. Remember Marilyn Monroe? You remember.
Of course.
Right? She did a test once on a sidewalk. She was with a friend or some newspaper or somebody, because I read it in a magazine or somewhere. And she said, I want you to see what it's like to be me. And the lady, whoever, said, fine. She said, I'm going to put on a scarf and I'm going to walk down the street with you and see if anybody notices me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to take off my scarf, I'm going to open up my coat, and we're going to walk down the street and see what happens. What do you think happened?
Well, she probably, I think I read about it. She didn't get noticed when she was just walking
That's
as
right.
a regular
That's
person.
Right.
And then she turned on her charms and everything.
That's exactly right. So your dreams take everything that is you, what you like, what you don't like, and it does, you put together a diorama in order to carry a message. So what you're doing when you're dreaming of a celebrity male is, what is the male doing?
Not much. We're just like talking or like walking. It's not, none of those dreams are romantic or sexual in nature at all. Like, I once saw Will Smith behind a counter at a gas station, which is unusual.
So,
probably.
Do you know that when an alcoholic dreams of drinking, it means he hasn't been drinking, he's sober, and his subconscious is giving him a free desensitization party. It's so fascinating. So what I think you're doing is you're having a free celebrity party. See? Just as maybe you didn't go shopping that day and you needed a free shopping trip. So you would dream. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, yes. So is the good doctor telling me to go and buy more stuff? I obey your orders all the time, so.
Am I understanding you correctly? Is this basically my subconscious telling me to maybe, like, pamper myself a little bit? Because I actually didn't.
Maybe you need a little bit more cherishing pleasure. Maybe you need a massage. Maybe you need to make love. I don't know.
Oh, speaking of that, what's going on with chicken soup?
Oh, it's going well. So this is a good... it's actually going well. I'm still seeing him. He gives me flowers. I'll have to be honest. I do sleep once in a while. I can't. I'm so sexually starved that... I know this is wrong, so I'm... So it's going well with occasional intercourse. Sorry.
Okay, Dr. Allen, what do you think about that?
I don't know what you're talking about, to be very honest.
Okay, she's been dating a gentleman. We call him Chicken Soup because he brought her chicken soup when she was quite ill. And so she has been being passive, patient, right?
Mm-hmm, yes.
Uh-huh. And she is... our little pain addict, and she's trying to step out of that. So she... Mm-hmm. Now, did you get a contract with him?
I did, yes.
So she's got a contract with him, but they're having intercourse.
Well, I did a contract for monogamous, continuous, long-term. And he knows about you. He knows what I'm doing. He knows I'm studying his stuff. He knows about my intentions. So it is it's monogamous, continuous, and long term. I don't know if he's the one for me, but I'm finding it out. So we're just seeing each other, and it's really nice.
That's awesome. And how's your pain addiction going?
It's going better. I've been desensitizing myself the way Dr. Allen told me to, and I think it's like a year later, it's finally starting to work. I look forward to good experiences. Things are going well at work. Like, people offer me help, and I'm not hesitant to receive the help. And I just do things that are just fun. Like, I don't do an hour of pleasure every single day. Sometimes it's less. But I definitely am very mindful when I do something nice. Like, if I go for a walk, I just try to relax and take it all in. And, yeah, it's really working. Like, I'm not anxious about it anymore like I used to do, so it's good.
That's amazing. So you're doing Dr. Mm-hmm. Allen's program, and it's working.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I realized the other day that this, like, what Dr. Allen is teaching, it's not even psychology. It's just physics of life. It's not arguable. It's just there, and it works. So thank you, Dr. Allen.
I'm curious. Have you two been working together?
Working? No.
Kelly, I want to know how you knew who she was.
Oh, Dr. Allen, I have a terrible thing with voices and memory. And so when I hear her voice, all of the details of what she's called in for the past several months, they bring to my mind because I hear her voice and I associate.
Oh, Kelly, that's... So I have the same thing. This is incredible.
Yeah, I associate her voice with the things she's told us, and it causes a recall in my mind.
It's as, it was like, wow. Okay, I understand that. That is a gift you have. Just as we say, everybody, puts together things. I don't remember names, but I remember faces. And I understand that. I just thought the way you were talking is as you had been in deep conversations with each other when you're saying that talking here together is all that it was, but you remember it.
Yeah, my background is in film and television editing, and most of the time I would be editing on a soundbite, vocal cues. So I hear vocal cues, and still my background just it associates for me. So,
oh wow!
You know what? I understand. I accept. That's awesome. So, did you, Seattle? Did you get what you needed from Kelly and I today?
Yes, absolutely. I'll go shopping. Thank you.
And sign up for that class.
I will. So you guys, there's one in July, correct?
I believe there is, but double check that on the website, wantistore.com. Okay. And remember, there are only six people per class, so I got to do
that.
Yeah, I
remember. Yeah. Wonderful. Okay. Yes, I will do that. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Seattle.
You see, dreams really are trying to help everybody feel better, even though they use scary images.
You know, that's so interesting that you talk about that. When I was taking witchcraft, magic, and religion for my anthropology, they talked about legend of the what they call in German the Nachmara, the nightmare. Every single culture has one. Oh, we got a call. Hey, caller. You're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question? Hello, caller. Oh. So I thought it was so interesting that it transcended all culture. This concept
what?
Of the concept of the nightmare, because we all have them, but they're not scary if you understand they're telling you something.
No, they're okay if you believe they're not witchcraft, that they are spiritual messages. You
exactly.
Know,
Carl Jung, we got a caller, Dr. Allen. Caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen.
Yeah, we'll gossip later.
Oh, they hung up. Okay, yeah, so that was interesting because it transcends culture, you know.
Hi, you've reached Lynn. I can't get to the phone
absolutely.
Right now, but leave a message and I'll get back.
Okay, I'm going to note for our audience, don't forget, our studio might be calling you back, so look for that call.
Anyway, dreams wish you well. Dreams are spirit. Carl Jung had Philemon, you know, the wing.
Hello?
Oh, spirit guide.
Here we go. Hi, caller, you're on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. My reception's bad because I'm out of the country. But I want to know when men contact you from the past that you've dated before and want to go out again, but you do your due diligence and you find out that they still have social media with their girlfriend picture up.
Oh.
They still are friends, you mean? That's going to be our topic for today.
Well, no, they're still showing social media with couple pictures as their profile.
It depends on whether they could get the company to take them off. I have people complaining because when they try to stop using a service, it's difficult to get them to stop.
Well, no, so like they have a Facebook picture, like they have their Facebook picture and it has them as a couple still.
So
okay.
How active are they on Facebook? Are they on daily or just randomly?
Well, I'm not on their Facebook, but just doing due diligence, I see their profile picture has them still as a couple on their photo picture, like as their profile picture.
So one of the questions I would have is if you look at his feed and hasn't posted for 6 months, maybe he didn't think to take the picture down, but if he posted yesterday, then that might be an issue.
That's right. That's true.
Right.
You know, another gentleman
did the same thing and then they ended up breaking up a week later, but I don't know. That's been happening a lot lately.
So you think he's got the one girl and then he's seeding the garden to see if anything will sprout before he kicks her to the curb?
sounds like it.
What do you think about that, Dr. Allen? Somebody looking for a new relationship before they've ended one that they're currently in.
I hate to mention
And they don't know that. I know.
The biggest, newest obsession is tech. All of this now in the same category as any other dopamine-producing, stimulating event that causes our nervous system. We're getting into trouble. We're just getting into trouble. And if we don't get into sensuous connection, we're all going to suffer from this abandonment of human relationships. It's
right.
It's really a problem, this business of people needing strokes so bad that they spend all their time with these machines, these apparatus, so that their living relationships are suffering.
Right. Well, they've asked me out on dates, like to actually go out on a date.
But if you're not in a committed relationship, they're simply fishing for more strokes.
Okay. So it's okay to go on a date, but they don't know that I know that their Facebook profile has them as a couple because I'm not on their social media.
That's the problem. You know something you can't talk about or won't talk about. Do you want to make an edict to this person that you will not date them? Now, remember, dating is not commitment.
Correct.
So, what would be your standing in this relationship that would allow you to say, get off there, or you can't? When you're dating somebody, you're not in a committed relationship unless you've made a commitment.
No, I understand, but they're reaching out to me to ask me out on a date, and that their social media still shows their profile picture as a couple with another person.
Then when you deal with them, feel free to say, and how is your girlfriend? Because they're portraying themselves as taken, aren't they?
On social media, but I'm not on their social media.
But their social media is a public forum, is that correct? Obviously,
yes.
His page isn't locked, so you can see it.
Yeah, you can just see the profile, but nothing else.
So, if you're upset about it, either don't date him, or confront him, or ignore it, because anything less than intercourse is a social event. Now, is he married to somebody?
No.
Then that's just a picture of another date.
Okay.
Does he claim as a girlfriend?
No.
Then it's just a
that hasn't been brought
date.
Up. No.
What does his relationship status show?
Yeah. What does that show?
It doesn't show. It doesn't show.
Hmm.
But this is the third gentleman that contacted me and asked me out on a date, and I saw their social media profile showing them as a couple still. One of them ended up breaking up a week later, but...
Well, it's interesting what Dr. Allen's pointing out is that we're so reliant now on the social media and our technology. In the olden days, if he had have asked you out, you would have had no idea if he was seeing Mary Lou or Susie Jane. You would have just either said yes or no, and then you would have went from there. So, I mean...
And then, wait a minute, and then he would say, I'm going off social media, will you? The sign today of serious relatedness is when somebody, either one, says, going out of the advertising, marketing business of self.
Right. Those are, yeah, for the dating app, I understand, but this is his Facebook page.
But even with that social media edict, I mean, there's a lot of reasons people might have a picture up, you know. To be honest with you, I've been broken up with my husband for, my goodness, 5 years. His picture's still on my page because he's in pictures with my kids, our children. So they're there. So I guess some guy who wanted to date me might see that. Yeah, he might see that and go like, oh, well, she's with this guy. I'm not with him anymore. He's my friend, and he's the father of my children, so he's on there. It has no significance
right. Okay.
with my personal dating right now, you know, because people just, the older we get, the more baggage we have. Baggage meaning people that have been in our lives and had have crossed our path or either enriched or damaged us in one way or another. So I think now what Dr. Allen's saying is such a great point. We've lost the ability to become intimate without checking up and spying on who we might go out and have a cocktail with, or maybe a, you know, a cup of coffee.
Right. So I'll just take it one day at a time and small dates and just use the guidelines.
And well, the way I ask is, date them 3 times, and if you're not asked to go off and stop dating other people, that is the sign that seriousness is upon you. If that doesn't happen, you're simply having a social event with another human being, and whatever is on there, it doesn't matter. But if it's he's married or... Yeah, that's pretty much it. If he's married, he's not eligible to be in your date life, apparently.
Right. They're not married.
If they're not married, it's a matter of dating 3 times, and if nothing is happening that is enticing you into something, that you would say, you know, I appreciate you wanting to socialize with me, but I'm watching your Facebook, whatever, and I'm seeing that I'm interested in building a relationship. I've got friends, but I want a boyfriend.
I'm sorry to interrupt. We're going to have to go, but caller, you know what? Please call us back okay. and let us know how it goes.
Will do.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Okay, bye.
Dr. Allen, what have you got to say tonight before we run away?
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is the commitment you're willing to make and keep.
All right, everybody. We love you. Don't forget, look up those classes. Follow us on Facebook, and we're out of here. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.